Reefer Madness the Podcast would like to acknowledge that we produce our shows on Treaty 2 territory and homeland of the Métis. We pay our respects to the First Nations and Métis ancestors of this land, and we reaffirm our relationships. And here we go.
It's Reefer Madness the Podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back.
We're back. I haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
No. Good. Busy. I'll do my pharmacist's wine. I'm tired of poking people in the shoulder for COVID shots. Yeah. I know it's important, it's good, it's yada, 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 but that's my every Wednesday. And I can't even whine that much. I seem to be doing about 50 a day on my Wednesdays. One of my colleagues, Barrett, seems to be going out to all the, they're not personal care homes, what would call them, like seniors' homes, and giving them shots there. Then, you know, I did 50 on Wednesday. He did, I think, 70 on Friday. And then, you know, because apparently he loves it so much, he said, you know, I'll even go in on my Saturday and do another 50. And, you know, good for him because I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. The pandemic is, these are good things, but I'm tired of poking people in the shoulder.
Yeah. When I was actively working up north, we would actually knock on doors and say, hey, we got your jab right here. Do you want it now? So we were actively doing that at one point, trying to ensure people got vaccinated. This pandemic is running a little long, man. You know, my research tells me that the average pandemic lasts for, 18 to 20 months. We're getting into the 21st month. It's time to move
out.
Time to wrap this one up. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, this isn't a podcast on pandemics. But
us whining about pandemics. We've got the local boy. We've got local boy made good, Eric Greening on.
Yeah, well, he's
Kirk, remind everybody who Eric is and that we've talked to him a couple times.
Oh well, thanks for that. Let me find the episode.
I'll do the quick. So Kirk will find the episode. I'll do the quick run over that he. So he's been involved in the construction industry, the project managing industry for over a decade. But, you know, also had a deep interest in cannabis and growing and medical use and all that other good stuff, and thought he would finally bring his two passions together and start his own craft cannabis production facility just outside the city of Dauphin. And so we talked to him when he was sort of in the planning stages. And we've talked to him again along the way. And this time we got to talk to him when there is an actual building up. So, Kirk, what episode was he on before?
Episode 55, Greencraft Cannabis with Mr. Greening. It's kind of cool. You know, we've often said to people in this podcast, we live in a small community. We choose to live here. And obviously, because we're in the middle of the center of Canada, we don't often get out and, you know, mingle and rub shoulders. Not that we can in a pandemic, but we're not out there in the cannabis industry. You know, you don't often see us at Toronto gigs or Vancouver gigs. We sort of stuck to the prairies. And what's kind of neat about this story is that it's our back door. And we've been able to watch how he has come. Well, he's part of the community, how he's brought this new project to the community and how the community has basically embraced it. We see it as more jobs. We see it as industry. We see it as taxpayers, tax income, right? He's going to be, you know, he's going to pay taxes and it's all going to be local. He's got local lawyers, local construction guys. He's buying his lumber by local.
All the sub-trades. Yeah. He said he's been doing his best to have local sub-trades and local suppliers and...
He's creating an economy.
A good news story all around.
He's creating an economy.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool to see, and it's kind of cool to have the opportunity to embrace this, you know, and to watch him do it.
Yes, all of those goods. So before we just go into Mr. Greening and his update,
okay.
I know you were really impressed with his website. What else did you
have to say? His website is kind of cool because it's very community minded, and the same guy that helps us with our web page is his webmaster, is the same webmaster as ours. But when people listen to the interview, He's in a room, but it sounds hollow. Like he's and behind him are a bunch of screens. I counted four large flat screen computer terminals behind him. But there was that hollowness of an empty building, and I could feel that fact that that building is still under construction just from listening to it. Did you pick up on that?
I did, but I also think you made a good call about him. Feeling like we're sitting at the control panel of the Starship Enterprise. Like this is not going to be a rinky dink, you know, not that any of the craft cannabis guys we've talked to have been, but you know, when people say craft cannabis, I think we're all still picturing, you know, that guy that you knew who grew some stuff in his basement. That's not what this is. This is high tech, well controlled, many, many sensors controlling many, many things. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah, and as you say, it's an update on a local business, and he was part of our learning about what craft cannabis will be, so, and what it is. So yeah, let's listen to the interview.
Let's go to Eric. Welcome back, everyone. On the line today, we have Eric Greening from Green Craft Cannabis. Hello, Eric. Hello. We chatted with you. Feels like a year and a bit ago, or it's pre-COVID, so forever ago, or at the very beginning of COVID, I think, was when we were last talking with you. But at that point, you were a craft cannabis grower without any physical anything. That's changed a lot. How about sort of update us about what's been going on at Greencraft?
Sure, you bet. Thanks for having me, guys. We're getting close, actually. We're getting close producing. Last time we spoke, I believe we were just digging a hole. That was last fall. So we gave a pretty good year over the winter. We got our building up. Facilities basically completed now. We're just kind of working on the last few items here to get it ready to up and grow. Things did slow down a lot over the last year with the, say, our regular construction pace. That did not happen. We're kind of waiting on a few more things right now still. Some of our air conditioner parts that are supposed to show up in September are still not arrived. So we're getting real close. You know, I've been hoping we'd be up and growing around now, but with the last little bit of issues we had and kind of some slowdowns, we're almost there now. So it's been quite the journey over the last year, but we're getting darn close. Yeah.
Excellent. Because of one of our previous episodes a few months ago, we were in Calgary. We're at a conference there, and we had sort of a panel of craft growers, and they spent the whole time talking about red tape. So how's been dealing with Health Canada and the Manitoba regulatory authorities, and how's the red tape been going during the build and whatnot?
You know what, at this point, not too bad at all. I have to say Health Canada has been great. We're still waiting to submit our site evidence package here, which will happen in the next few weeks to a month. We'll start working a little bit closer with Health Canada. But honestly, I have no complaints from their end. Locally as well, provincial government's been, you know, just fine. We're getting along how we have to. We're going to be getting kind of some more business deals here once we get up and growing as well with them. RM of Dauphin, absolutely amazing, like our little municipality. We've been dealing with them a lot over the whole build throughout the years, permitting and whatnot, and it's just, the support's been great through them. So, you know, so far we've been lucky. We have some great support from the community, like I said, and we've been able to kind of just proceed here as we go.
And how about just, because everyone's getting used to Zoom everything, how about even things like inspections? I assume at some point Health Canada's got to inspect you, or maybe they've done that already. Are they allowed to physically send out inspectors? Do you walk around with an iPhone? How do things like that happen?
Actually, yeah, the first steps are kind of like walking around with your phone or video camera, get them a site evidence package so they can kind of see what you have. They do eventually still have to come out, have a site inspection, which is great. Every producer has to go through that, make sure everything's up to par, everything's safe. So they will still have to come out and have a look at things. Plenty of room out here to stay safe and stay separated and everything, you know, so we have a way to get our inspections done and hopefully move along nice and quick.
Cool.
Our building inspection, same thing as we've been going along. Our building inspector's been out, and we have to keep our social distancing and keep our masks on. And, you know, we're still able to go. Construction's been an industry that's been allowed to, you know, keep going through the pandemic type thing, thankfully.
And I know you've been, pre this, you were heavily involved in the construction industry, so you have some inside knowledge. Has it been as hard as, you know, us lay people hear about getting construction materials and price of construction materials and getting trades working on stuff, as that's been a pandemic problem, I imagine?
Absolutely has. Yeah, that was one of our biggest issues here. Materials became a huge issue, say, spring, summer, last year, fall. Another thing that people understand, we've added to the draw of materials, if you want to say, from Canada, with all the natural disasters down south and a bunch of flooding, and all that has to be rebuilt, right? So, you know, that's extra on top of all the thousands and thousands of projects that are already going in the area type thing. So, you know, when you add a load like that on the materials and the construction industry, it definitely slows it down. I've never seen anything like this, the way the industry's been going. If we were to start this project right now, or anybody starting a substantially sized construction project, it could be trouble right now. Like it's getting pretty scary. Luckily, we just got in time. Basically, we had everything locked down, ready to rock and roll, just as a pandemic was setting in, saved on our pricing. And it's tough right now, I gotta say, for sure.
And obviously you won't give away any of your brand secrets, but again, talking to other craft growers, it always seems to be an interesting waving of the wand to get seeds and plant material in at the beginning to get your genetics up and going. Again, there'll be things you tell us, things you can't, but how's that been going, and how does that work? How does a craft cannabis producer get their genetics started, and what's that process like?
Sure. Yeah, we have a special declaration through Health Canada. So the wand has been waved for Greencraft. We've magically got all of our stuff kind of together, ready to go. That hasn't been too bad. Shipping-wise has kind of been an issue the last few months, but kind of same thing there. We saw things slowing down quite a few months ago, and we're able to, you know, secure a bunch of stuff ready to go. So in that form, Greencraft is in a great place. Actually, we have some absolutely amazing strains we're going to be starting here. No one else will be able to produce anything like some of these we have coming in. So we're really happy. We're really excited to get going, get these out to the public and let people enjoy it.
Cool. I'm going to see if Kirk has some questions before I throw more at you. Kirk, you're still awake?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just looking at your webpage, man. I'm just trying to get prepared to talk to you and ask you some critical questions. But no, I'm excited for you. I've yet to come out and have a look at the site. I was waiting to see when it actually opens up. But have you had a chance to listen to some of our episodes? We've been talking to other craft growers.
I have, absolutely. Yeah, you know, your last craft panel, I think there's four of them on there talking together. Yeah, that was a good one to hear too, definitely. Kind of neat to hear everyone's stories, you know, different setups, different situations they're in, different areas, provincial wise to the differences that are out there. It's that was neat to hear. Yeah,
well, just to say,
basically the same as those guys. The one big difference with us is our facility, right? Like, we have probably the best micro cannabis growing facility in Canada here. This thing is absolutely brand new, from scratch, designed for one thing only. I know a lot of the other guys are, you know, still working some C10s or some poly houses or something, but you know, one thing that kind of sets us, or is going to set us apart, is this facility put together here.
Do you share some of the concerns that panel talked about, and some of it had to do with how you have to sell your product to government to be able to buy your product back? Because if I remember correctly, at one point you said you wanted to get into resale as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is still a plan for us, to get our location open up in the city here, so we can get it. You know, farm gate isn't really possible right now in Manitoba. Honestly, the way the rules are changing, Saskatchewan is doing great. They're doing it pretty much privatized, so we can call up a store in Saskatchewan and say, here you go, here's our product, without getting government involved. Manitoba, you know, basically every province is trying to get their cut out of the cannabis sales, right? So every year, every few months, they're kind of easing up, if you want to say, letting some more deliveries go out, changing this. So, you know, issues, yes, but are all of us dealing with it? Yes, it's just kind of the way it is for us, in my mind.
So I'm sorry, I heard you say city. Are you talking about
City of Dauphin?
Winnipeg? City of Dauphin. Okay, good, yeah. Because you live in rural, so Dauphin is the city to you. Is that it? Okay.
Well, you know, basically when I got out of high school, moved away, it became a city, so it's still a little town to me, but...
Yeah, that's just
this classic.
City now. Yeah. Okay, and obviously all those screens in the background, those computer screens?
Yeah, you bet. We're in my office here right now. We're all set up, kind of got all of our security and digital systems and everything all set up, and we're running on site here right now, if you want to say, just kind of go out that door, put the work boots back on here in a couple of minutes and start hammering away again.
So you're in the construction phase.
Yeah. Well, we're just construction's basically done. Yeah. Installation phase, you want to say, finishing up the equipment, installing the final items type thing. Yeah.
Because you look like the command center of the U.S. Enterprise back there.
Absolutely. The command center of the Greencraft Cannabis headquarters right here. You're inside.
Thanks, Trevor. I was trying to be quiet. I'll move on. I'll mute myself.
I just thought I'd give you a chance. I know when we were pre-construction, you were talking about some of the cool equipment you were going to have in there, everything from CO2 to lights to HVAC. Any of those sort of really going, oh, this is cooler than I thought. Like, for example, me, I had no idea you would add CO2 to a growing operation to change how it grows. Any sort of cool pieces of equipment that are going in that ended up being even neater than you thought?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, some our control system's pretty darn neat too. We have full control actually, like in the headquarters here, we can basically run the entire facility. If we lose a degree in temperature, raise one bit too high, maybe a light bulb burns out. If a pipe is leaking, we get notified it's going down our drain. Fertigation system is pretty neat too. So we have automatic watering through all of our grow rooms, CO2, real high control in each grow room as well. We're a fully sealed facility, so we have no outside air mixing with our plants at all to keep everything nice and safe. But we have two negative pressure antechamber entrance rooms, similar to hospital entrance rooms, if you want to say, for their isolation areas, which we enter our facility through. And then it's full, basically like a working hospital, working a lab throughout our whole facility. So yeah, it's going to be neat. The control we have in a facility like this is, you know, it's unmatched. We'll be able to take excellent care of all of our plants in there every single day too. I'm not going to be just popping by once a week to check on them, right? We have 24/7 watch on these plants growing.
No, that's been great. And this segues nicely into a sort of a teaser for the audience that when we're allowed, we promise not to be beating on his door yet, but in the new year, when we're allowed, Eric is going to take us on a tour of the new facility, and we hope to post some videos and pictures and whatnot online and do sort of a follow-up interview to this. Eric, anything else that you wish we'd asked about where you are right now?
No, I really appreciate letting me update you guys where we're at here. One other thing I want to add is just another thank you to all of our supporters in town here. Our material suppliers have been bending over backwards, McMahon Yates, Dauphin Decorating, Home Hardware, Sammy's Farm Supply. You know, it's tough getting something like this going in a small city, trying to stay with all local, and luckily we've been able to. They've been doing stuff for us that the big city stores can't even do. And then even our sub-trades too, you know, our sub-trades working through this is just, they've been working great with us. Bob's Electric, Steiner's Plumbing and Heating, all of our sub-trades are local, highly skilled, highly qualified guys. And, you know, just a thank you to them too for working for us or through us over the year.
Actually, Eric, I'm going to comment on your webpage. You thank a lot of people. And also appreciate that you do a direct link to our podcast as well from your webpage. Remind us, you're growing primarily recreational, or are you also going to get into medicinal?
Both. Yeah, it'll be both. So basically, if you're a medical customer, you can come directly to Greencraft or your cannabis through us as your medical provider, or we'll have our product available in recreational stores as well.
So you have a license for both?
You're correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so people will be able to buy their medical cannabis from your webpage?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, order through Greencraft with your prescription from your doctor. You register with Greencraft as your medical provider, and it works the same way as any other medical provider in Canada. So if they're familiar with using a different provider and they're finally ready for some good quality cannabis being available at a better price, we'll be ready for you soon.
And we love quality. You're still the salesman. That's perfect. Yeah.
Got to do what you can do.
and will you have compassionate pricing for the medical side?
You betcha. Yeah. Honestly, all of our pricing is going to be a little more to where it should be. It's getting ridiculous out there in the stores. There's no way cannabis should be sold for $18 or $19 a gram nowadays. You know, we're going to get it back closer to what people are used to paying for the last, you know, 15, 20, 30 years of cannabis purchases, right?
And so, Eric, will you be able to sell under your brand, or like in Alberta, many of those craft growers are selling their products to larger companies that sell under a different brand?
Yeah, that's what we're not doing, right? This is this is what Greencraft is absolutely going to avoid. We don't want our product being, you know, mixed with anyone else's product or mistakenly added to someone else's inventory. This is, you're buying Greencraft cannabis, you know you're getting Greencraft cannabis grown right at this facility here. There's a lot of other smaller craft growers, and even the large craft growers are now trying to trick people saying, hey, we have a craft division too, which is actually just, you know, another corner of their giant 500,000 square foot facility that they're calling craft. And they're saying we have craft growers. Well, you know, buyer beware, have a look at where your cannabis is actually coming from. Make sure you are supporting a micro if you're looking for a craft product, right?
Yeah, well, viewers,
the standard license are much different.
Yeah, well, listeners might remember we sort of started with you in our quest to understand craft cannabis. And what I've come to understand about craft cannabis is I think anybody can grow good cannabis. It's what happens to the cannabis after it leaves the facility, you know, in a sense, after you cut it down and dry it, what happens to that cannabis? And that, like you say, farm gate. So I'm wondering you won't fall into that problem. Like, are you packaging all your own cannabis in-house?
We will be packaging inside as well, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so there, it'll leave your building with your brand on it.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a huge advantage for you.
It absolutely is. You know, a lot of these people too, they're harvesting their crop and they're sending it, trucking across the country in a giant bag, and it gets squished and they pull it out, put it through a bunch of machines on that side of the country, handle it another 20 times, put it back in a truck, send it across the country. You know, we want to avoid all that, right? There's no need. A lot of these places do have some good co-packaging setups where, you know, some of the smaller craft growers don't have the setup yet. They're using a co-packager, which is, you know, it's an option. That works too. But, you know, the more control you can have your product start to finish, in my opinion, is you want to keep it up.
Oh, that's what we're learning, Eric. That's exactly what we're learning. So you're packaging plastic or glass?
You know, still haven't 100%. That would be a
foil.
Bags, plastic or glass. A lot of people like bags just because it doesn't take too much space, not so much to recycle. Plastic does work good, or glass for keeping your buds nice and fresh and not broken. So, yeah, that not 100% sure yet what it'll be coming in. We did look into biodegradable. Unfortunately, right now the market just isn't up to snuff if you want to save for health kind of standards. So,
well, it's a problem. You know, do you want to keep a small carbon footprint or do you want to have more profit?
Well, it's tough right now. Yeah, you know, that side of the industry is also moving along real quick. Cannabis packaging, there's a lot of companies involved now that are moving things forward. You know, give it a year or two and things will make a lot more sense, I think, with the packaging anyway. Yeah.
So is anything
figured out eventually?
Well, it's a moving target is what we're learning. Yeah. Has anything changed in regards to government regulations since you started this process? Have you had to do any pivoting in that regard yet since we last talked?
Nothing huge. No, actually, basically just when I was approved, 2019, so was when we were kind of getting everything rolling. Right after we got in, if you want to say, and got approved, there were some major changes, which thankfully we beat, but you know, since then there hasn't been any major. There's lots of changes constantly coming through. They're tweaking things here and there, which is, it's going to be how it'll be for the next 5 years, right? This is just such a new industry. It's got to be expected.
Well, it's interesting because again, Trevor and I have learned so much more since we last talked to you. And what I'm getting from you is you're the general contractor for your building, which means that you're intimate with the building. You're going to be the grower for your product. And you're going to package your product there with your own brand on the containers, and you are going to sell it to Manitoba government. And you're also, we're talking about going directly to consumers in Saskatchewan. Is that all still part of the plan?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, you bet it is. It's, you know, honestly, any province, when it comes time to sale, you know, if we get a good relationship with some BC stores or the government out there, you know, it is possible to go anywhere for some Canada.
Yeah.
And like I say, this, with having that control, this, I designed and built this facility. So, you know, every little thing in there, if I was a client and just send this over to somebody, you know, I would be worried to how they're going to figure out how to run an operation like this. But with having full design control and full control of the facility, it's, I believe that's an advantage for us. Myself growing, our master grower has over 40 years of growing experience. He's a legacy grower. You know,
okay.
Every single day, right?
You know? So you do have a master grower. Last we talked to you, you would hope to be your own master grower. So you have a master grower. Okay.
Right now, I'm spending most of my time in the headquarters punching buttons on these stupid computers. So
Be careful what you ask for, man. You might just get it, right?
Yeah, totally. No, we have a great grower and a great team coming in here with experience through cannabis that like, it can't be beat, right?
You got well, I really appreciate your webpage. I'm glancing through it, and it's definitely a small town group of people. I mean, Trevor and I probably know 90% of the people that you're working with. So it's kind of cool to have a small business doing what you're doing. It's going to be, I think you're going to be a guest of ours in the coming years often. So we'll be following you.
Yes. Looking forward to
it,
guys.
We know you're a busy guy, Eric, so we appreciate the time. And yeah, we're looking forward to that tour in the new year.
You betcha. Me too, guys. We'll get it ready for you.
Kirk, that was a really nice talk with Eric. It was really nice to catch up with him. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I saw Eric in person. And just to reiterate, we're in a small town.
Yeah. The last time I saw him, we were sitting in my driveway. We brought out three lawn chairs, and I think we were 8 feet apart. And we're sitting in our driveway because Eric is. We've spoken to him. As a small business guy in Canada, in Dauphin, similar to the greenhouses that are growing, right? It becomes an investment opportunity. So the last time we talked to Eric, we were sitting in my driveway talking about it being an investment opportunity. I'm not in a situation right now because I'm in pre-retirement mode where I can get cash to invest in his company. I think it's a good business model. I think there's a potential for investors to do well. I just could not get into it at this time. It's a real shame.
Yeah, well, and any investment's a risk. So for God's sakes, don't take investment advice from us.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not our thing. But I, you know, to be transparent to our audience, I did invest in Green Craft Cannabis. Now I know some people will go, oh, well, the rest of this is just an
advertisement
for something that Trevor invested in. It's not. We would be talking to Eric regardless.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is a local cool cannabis story that's happening in our backyard. We'd be talking to Eric regardless, but yeah, for the sake of transparency, I am one of the investors in this operation.
But you know what I have an investment in is our webpage.
yes, you do. Kirk, what can people, nice segue,
thank you.
What
thank
can
you
people
much.
Find if they went to reefermed.ca?
Well, I tell you, I've had a lot of fun. I've had lots of opportunities to sit in front of my computer. I told you how I spilt water on my computer.
Yes.
Oh.
That doesn't go well.
Oh, shit. You know, I've had so many issues with my old computer, what is now my old computer. You know, in the summer months, the motherboard went, so I lost my computer for about 3 weeks as it was getting repaired. But anyways, so yes, our webpage, Trevor. We've opened up a whole bunch of stuff. We've added some new pictures to it. We have a blog segment. I'm starting to find I have time to speak to some of the issues that we're learning about. I posted a whole essay on the government providing a safe supply of cannabis in regards to the whole addictions pandemic we're having with the opiate crisis and the number of people that are dying from addictions. So I did a little rant on that. The one I'm working on now is I'm wondering if the government asked the wrong question when they look to legalize recreational cannabis.
All right, putting on my cynical hat, I think they put on the how can we make money off of taxing cannabis? You know, I'm sure
you think
I know it was more involved in that, but my cynical hat says that was a driving force.
Well, my brain as I ramble and stumble through, because I'm doing some work on the side and researching cannabis for a project I'm working on, but so what I've been finding is that the government's whole stick is that they have created recreational cannabis laws and regulations to keep us safe from cannabis.
Okay.
So their whole premise is that they've built a series of laws to keep us safe. And I, as I read through the documentation,
And I say, I think they've asked the wrong question. Because when you ask a negative question in research, you tend to find solutions and recommendations that tend to solve the negative, right? Sure. So if the question is, how do we keep people safe from cannabis, then you're going to come up with regulations that keep us safe from cannabis. And such as, you know, in Manitoba, we're not allowed to grow our own homegrown cannabis, our own four plants, because they want to protect the youth in Manitoba. Still don't understand that argument. But so they've built their argument to protect the youth. And the whole thing about keeping cannabis stores away from schools and all this sort of stuff. And so it's all about keeping us safe. So when I say that they've asked the wrong question, I can't help but think that maybe they should have asked the question, what are the benefits of cannabis? You know, and I think how do we create an environment where the benefits of cannabis can be used to draw in taxes and to create revenue for government, right? And I think that would have by answering that question, I think they would have had less difficult laws. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm going to cut you off and say, save the rest of that for your blog, and now people are going to have to go there and read how you resolve that. I think that's a very interesting take.
Well, and I'm working on that. Yeah, so it all comes about research and asking questions. And the other thing we've done with the webpage is that we've added a whole section of relationships. All the organizations and individuals that have helped us build this podcast, they're recognized on the webpage also, and which episodes they helped us specifically with. What we've also done, Trevor, is that I have a group of crafty people who put together some hop pillows.
Kirk, why would I want a hop pillow?
Well, I love the way you segue me and you open the door for me to spill out my understanding of hops. Hops are, of course, a cousin of the cannabis, which really is not an issue, but in this matter. But hops have glands in them that are called lupin glands, and lupin glands tend to calm us. So when you breathe in fresh hops, it's a calming effect. So what we've done is that we've built these sachets of hops, lavender, rosebuds, dry roses, rose petals, sorry, and chamomile. And they're in repurposed hemp material. And they're available for people to purchase from us as a way for us to create some cash to perpetuate this passion project of ours. So we're sort of actively soliciting people to help us out here, this passion project.
And they can find the hot pillows through the website?
Through the website, Trevor. They can go to the relationship page on our website. They'll see some beautiful pictures of these repurposed hemp fabric sachets. And they can let us know they're interested in one and send us a little bit of cash. And I will send out and push them a beautiful hop pillow sachet, and it will give, and it's called Hoppy Dreams, and it will assist with your dreams.
That is fantastic, but we should probably talk a little bit more about Green Craft before we sort of wrap this up. So what did you think of the interview and how things are going with Green Craft and the building?
To be announced, really. I mean, the whole point of this episode was to catch up with Eric, and he gave us a catch up, and I'm looking forward to the tour. Trying to think, I've been to several home gardens over my years,
go to the big one in Winnipeg,
Delta 9.
Yeah. Delta 9, thank Delta, you, lost that yeah, for a second.
And I'm trying to think, have I been to other, I don't think I've had a chance to go, and you'd think you'd remember this stuff. So I'm looking forward to going and seeing what a small operation looks like. And it does look pretty cool. The man is a contractor who has built a building specifically to grow cannabis. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of cool.
I really like the update with Eric. And yeah, hopefully, we know for sure we'll get you on the tour, but depending on my work schedule, whether or not I'll get out there. But like I said during the interview, one of the parts that still interests me the most is are these CO2, adding CO2 to a plant's environment and sort of changing how it grows and what it produces and that kind of thing. That just kind of blows my mind a little.
Well, yeah, it's a science, isn't it? That's the thing that I get a kick out of cannabis. It truly is a science. So, and they're growing it as a science. So it's kind of cool. I've also liked the fact that he's going to be on the medicinal side too. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, as a nurse and a pharmacist, that is kind of important to me. And just completely anecdotally, it seems a little more, yeah, I won't say a torrent, but a little more every day I get a, you know, Dr. So-and-so said it would be okay if I try cannabis, but said that you'd be the person to do the paperwork for me. Can you help me? So I won't say every week, but, you know, a few times a month now I'm getting that. So, you know, and the clientele I see... What's that?
Have you built yourself a template?
Yeah, I've been through it. Most of, honest, not to go into all the stereotypes, but most of our clientele at the pharmacy are older. So honestly, most of the problems is, how do I sign on to the website? How do I get registered? How do I order? That takes the majority of my time. And then after that is a... how do I dose? Because, you know, the docs ask me that too. So, you know, it's, like I said, it is a small chunk of my day as a pharmacist, but it seems to be slowly increasing. So long roundabout way to saying, yes, there's lots of interest in medicinal cannabis. So I'm glad that Greencraft is involved in that as well.
You know what? You know what? I want to interview you for a second here, actually. So as a pharmacist who technically has been told by his college that you can't work with cannabis...
Yes.
How do you help people with dosing? What resources are you using? How do you do that? Like, what are you using as resources? How do you dodge yourself around that little tidbit?
No, it's a good question. There are actually some nice resources. This isn't, again, not a plug for a specific company, but we'll plug a specific company. Spectrum Cannabis, which is the medicinal side of Tweed, they're literally all the canopy. They've had a whole nice series of Zoom lectures, and they've got a nice basically how to start cannabis dosing guideline. And but it is based on studies. In fact, the group that we interviewed a little while ago about cannabis and opioids, how to get people off of opioids using cannabis.
Yeah.
That group.
What episode? That was episode 78, I think.
Yeah, they have a very, maybe not exactly all the same people, but a lot of those people have now actually released guidelines on sort of how to dose cannabis, and it's very similar to this one that I'm using from Spectrum.
73.
And... yeah, so there really aren't the double blind placebo controlled trials, but there really is a lot of, we'll call it expert consensus on how to dose cannabis. And the long and the short of it is, start low, go slow. And especially with the older people that I deal with, start CBD only and slowly increase and see what happens. And
yeah.
I've had a lot of
mileage out of episode 73. That's opiate tampers with cannabis guidelines. I think that's one of our strongest episodes from the perspective of medicinally using cannabis. But I guess and what I'm doing with our with the blog is that I'm actually using a lot of our expert guests as my source material. So that's another plug to our webpage, is that our library is plugged with source material. But the question you skirted around there, my friend, is you're a pharmacist in Manitoba, yeah, perpetuating the use of cannabis?
I am, but the way the laws work, I can't sell it to a patient.
Right.
Because it literally can't come into the pharmacy. So really, I'm giving advice on a medicinal product, which in my mind, and we'll see if the regulators agree with me, isn't any different than whether somebody, as you know, comes to the pharmacy or calls the pharmacy and asks me about cocaine, which is, you know, strictly illegal. ginkgo biloba, which isn't illegal, but, you know, has some science, has some not, or like an allopurinol, which is, you know, everybody agrees is a reasonable blood pressure pill. I'm asked questions about all of those all the time, and I think it's well within my purview if I know about it. You know, if I don't know, say, for God's sake, say, I don't know. But, you know, if I know about it, to give them advice. And so, you know, I'm working with their physician, because the way medicinal cannabis works in Canada, the physician, it's not a prescription. They write a medical document that goes to the licensed producer. And then the licensed producer are the people who actually send it to the customer slash patient. I'm right now, as a pharmacist, I'm in a weird outside role to give advice, but it is weird because again, I said a lot of my problems are just technical in issue. A lady was having trouble just literally getting onto the website and ordering something. So she said, well, can you just call them and see what's going on? And I did. And this is not that much different than me calling an insurance company or me calling a drug plan. Or I do that all the time. And as a pharmacist, if I call an insurance company or I call a drug plan, you know, if I identify myself as a pharmacist and I say, yeah, I've got the patient's, you know, insurance information, they talk to me because, you know, I'm a trusted healthcare professional. The people, to their credit, the people at the licensed producer I was talking to wouldn't tell me anything because in their mind, I am not in the circle of care, which is right. I really am not. I am in this weird sort of other zone. So I told them what I could. They couldn't really confirm or deny anything. And then basically I had the patient call their customer support herself. And as far as we know, things sort of got sorted out. But it just sort of reiterated to me how at the moment as a pharmacist, I'm in this, when it comes to cannabis, I'm in this weird other zone. I'm not in the circle of care. I'm
Does
outside consultant.
Does the College of Pharmacists of Manitoba speak to cannabis? And again, Trevor, I don't mean to spear you, but I've been really immersing myself in the whole College of Nurses in cannabis, because I'm looking to move my practice exclusively into cannabis. So I want to know, as a sole proprietor of a business, how does my college view this? And to the credit of the College of Nurses and the Protective Society of Nurses, cannabis is out there, and they're giving us directions, not all of it good direction, but I'm in a situation where I'm actually giving feedback to the college on some of the draft proposals they have. Do you have that opportunity with the College of Pharmacists?
Yeah, the last thing was basically don't have anything to do with it. And that was
a couple years ago, wasn't it? That was a few years ago.
Yes. And then there's been nothing since that. As far as I know, it's don't have anything to do with it, full stop.
Interesting. So in Manitoba, the College of Pharmacists do not support pharmacists helping people with medicinal. And going back to my blog, this is when I talk about the ramifications of asking the wrong question in research. I can't help but wonder if the College of Pharmacists are sticking to that, you know, the harm of cannabis, you know, so it's best to stay away from it, rather than let's educate our members on possibly how cannabis can help. And then through that, how do we then, you know, look for the contraindications? I'm just wondering, it's in 4 years of us doing this project, has anything changed for you in that area? And in nursing, there's lots of changes.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, fair enough.
Not to my knowledge. So, Kirk, we keep saying this over and over again, but we were in Calgary.
Yeah.
And we collected some stories there, and we're sort of sprinkling them throughout the episodes as my cannabis stories, and I think they worked out really well. We saw a booth with, they had fancy clothes, and then they had some fancy jars. And what were they called again?
High-end. Really cool. Really, really cool marketing and labeling that they have.
They were. And their sort of claim to fame was their fancy little jars, which were UV-proof and glass, but they had a really good seal on them. So they should keep your buds fresh much, much longer, was their claim. And they had some cool little videos and stuff showing the experiments they had done. So that immediately caught my attention. And one of the high-end guys agreed to give us a quick little blurb.
Yeah, I think it fits in really well with Eric's story. Is that we did ask Eric about packaging. And what these guys are stressing is how you store your cannabis is extremely important. So yeah, let's hear a story about storing cannabis.
Let's have a listen.
Please introduce yourself and explain to me the reason and the purposes and what your product does for the cannabis industry.
Yeah, for sure. So it's High End Lifestyle. It's a brand that's for the high-end connoisseurs of cannabis, predominantly flower users. We use a UV glass jar that we take from the Netherlands. We ship it to California. We do the applied ceramic labeling in California, where a lot of the high-end wine bottles are logoed. The bags they come in are done in the same factory that East St. Laurent does their bags, and the boxes are done here locally. We've spared no steps in terms of cost or how to do certain things. The logo is meant to be discreet in use. It's supposed to be, if you know, you know. If you don't know, it's not glaring in your face that it's big cannabis in the background. The science of the jars are that UV glass light, or UV glass prevents any light from going through. Light's damaging to cannabis and organic molecules. The experiment that you're seeing there, actually, we took an ounce of cannabis, put it in 7 different containers, let it sit there for 6 weeks, and just showed how much the degradation of cannabis was, both from smell leaving it, because our glass is 100% smell proof, 100% seal proof. So all the terps, endocannabinoids, and all that stays within the things. Okay. Nothing comes out. So you can keep ounces of cannabis in your house in our jars, and no one's the wiser. None of the smell comes out at all.
So does the glass allow the cannabis to age and culture and cure?
So as you would see in the experiment, like when we did it in plastic jars or we did it in steel jars or metal jars, the cannabis would take the smell of the plastic or would take the smell, or the metal ones would actually just petrify the cannabis. Okay. So all of the air and moisture would leave the jar and the cannabis would get really dry. But because our jars are smell proof and seal proof, nothing comes in or out.
Cool.
So light doesn't penetrate, none of the elements penetrate. It's smell proof, so you can keep a lot of cannabis in your home. It's discreet in its use. And they just look great. Like, they're just better looking than everything else on the products. And then our apparel is actually done by our award-winning designer, who's in-house. We do all of our designs. We are direct to the factory. We design the cuts. Our fabrics are all high-end fabrics. We use elastin, bamboo cotton. Our hoodies and our zip-ups have hand warmers and hidden pockets within them, fully encapsulating the hood. We use the softest materials, and we skip no details when it comes to anything.
Fantastic.
We're just there for the high-end connoisseurs of cannabis.
Fantastic. Thank you, man.
How about we wrap this one up? I don't think I've said it yet. I'm Trevor Shufeldt. I'm the pharmacist.
Oh, yes. I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse, and we're Reefer Madness, the podcast. And we encourage everyone to go to our webpage, reefermed.ca, and encourage you to buy yourself a Hoppy Dream pillow and support this passion project of ours.
Sounds good. That's been another good one. Talk to you later, everybody.
All right.
Great job, guys, as always. It's Renee here back in the studio. And I guess I'm left with the responsibility of picking a song, which should be local, since Eric and his Greencraft project is local. So just north of Dauphin is a little place called Winnipegosis. And Emma Peterson is from there, and she's come out with a few songs over the last few years. Her latest one is Hurt Like Hell, and that's what we're going to play right now.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
You always had warm hands, a cold heart, but I heal. There's gonna be a scar, 'cause I loved and I trusted you for the last time, that's right.
to help. Hey, sorry, the dog's on there. Get off of there. Get off of there. Dog's on the furniture. Roomba just started. Sorry, hold on.
That's okay. Yeah.